so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. Let's sing it one more time. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
Let me just invite you to take a moment, and if you haven't already, allow your eyes to close. Take a few nice deep breaths. Just allow yourself to slow down, to arrive, to be here. Such a busy time of the year. And maybe even getting here was somewhat frantic for you. Just as you breathe and as you settle, allow your body, allow your thoughts to slow, and maybe think about those words that we were just singing. Let them be a little bit of a mantra. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. Maybe allowing your attention to drift inside, to your heart, to your thoughts, your feelings. Maybe this morning you could also say, I am so grateful for all that I am. It's not just what we have, but it's who we are. Can you soften? Can you open? Can you offer gratitude and loving presence to whatever's with you in this present moment? Nothing to fix. There's nothing to change. Maybe even nothing to understand, but just to be present. Maybe if there's anything that's being resisted or causing a little bit of tension or something, just offer it some breath, some care. Maybe coming home to that light of love that's inside of you. And resting and being still. And then allowing your awareness to come back out to the room, the sounds, the smells, the beings who are here and all around, And as you're ready, just gently opening your eyes.
For all that I have, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. For all that I have, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. For all that I have, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed.
Thank you. I don't know about you, but I needed that music and pause this morning. Anybody else just have a busy, hurry, scurry, run around, go all over the place? Tis the season to be merry. Tis the season to be busy. Tis the season to be frantic. Tis the season to eat lots of good food and wake up feeling... And I'm just really, really grateful that you're here today. Thank you for joining us online. I hope that these moments together can be a little bit of a breath of fresh air for you, spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever you need, just to really drop in and rest and pause and slow down for a little moment. It's just so good to be together. Good to be together. Good to be here. Good to drive in this morning and see the thermometer on the car at 25 degrees. I know for you Idahoans, that's a heat wave in the wintertime, so yeah. but I just love the crispness and the coolness of everything, and just really, really good to be here. As you've heard, today is the first Sunday in Advent. We borrow that from the Christian tradition. Advent is all about watching and waiting. And if you were like me and growing up in Sunday school, it's watching and waiting for Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And I remember as a kid thinking, well, what's there to watch and wait for? I mean, how do you watch and wait for a story that you already know the ending to, you know? And that's, you know, it's just, I mean, there's something to that in all of our spiritual traditions. You know, we can romanticize it and sentimentalize it, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love this time of the year. Whatever your sentimental factor is, whatever your nostalgia factor is, I've got you beat. No one is more nostalgic and sentimental than James Kress this time of the year. I'll just tell you, I hear songs and I hear the violin play and I'm just like, oh, I just love it, you know? But it's also important to remember, too, that there's a mystery and a wonder to this all. You know, and we're going to spend some time over these next few Sundays in December thinking about Advent and the mystery of Advent and really drawing upon the story of when the angel came and told Mary that she was going to give birth to a son. And again, if we know that story in the Christian tradition, you know, sure, we can kind of lose some of the mystery of it, but really, the mystical lesson into that in that story is to be aware of things that come into our life that seem a little preposterous. How can this be? Have you ever had anything happen? Maybe you had something happen this week. How can this be? Maybe it's a health problem or a financial problem, or, you know, certainly being with family is always exciting, you know. Practicing the art of hospitality, you know, making people feel like they're at home when you wish they really were. Anybody guilty of that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The laughs are just too telling. Yeah. But, you know, the mystery of Advent, again, is just coming again to this story of something coming to you. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I can't help myself here, you know. Mary's saying yes to life on life's terms. That's really what it's all about, saying yes to life on life's terms. Somebody wrote it down this way, and I forget, but it was really good. Advent and the mystery of Advent is a total and unreserved yes to be present. I'm sorry, a total and unreserved yes to the invitation to be present in and to the world through us. An invitation to be present to the world in and through us. If you were here last week, we talked about the consciousness of life happening through us and life happening as us. It's not trying to fight it, not trying to resist it because we do, but it's just noticing that when we do, and living with a open, unprotected, undefended heart to life on life's terms. That's the mystery of Advent that we all can come back to again. And this idea of waiting too, I was just thinking about that. You know, and the difference between sacred time and human time. You know, we humans live on a time scale of seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months, fittingly and properly so. But in the divine economy, in the spiritual economy, life operates totally differently. Sometimes it seems to go at light speed, like, whoa, what just happened to me? And other times it can seem to go on and on and on and on. And again, just the awareness of that and the shared experience of that is part of the beauty and the mystery of what this time of the year is all about. So I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you together as a community this year. All right, today, though, we're going to wrap up our five-part series that we've been walking through covering the five unity principles. And so unity principle five is this: live these principles, practice and apply them. I remember when I saw that, I'm like, that's it? Live these principles, practice, and apply them. Okay. Well, goodbye. It's a good day. You can go home and have some fun. Yeah. What to say about that? Well, there's a beauty and an elegance in the simplicity. I don't know why I'm holding my pen. There's a beauty and a simplicity in those principles. And do you remember what those principles are? Does anybody remember? How many of you don't remember what they are? I love that. Thank you for your honesty, because I had to go back and check them myself. And just even notice that too, our penchant for you know, give me some tools, give me some skills, give me some, people say this all the time, give me some tools and skills and takeaways that I can go home with. I've got volumes of notebooks with practical skills and tools and steps to take in my spiritual life that could fill the Smithsonian Institution. And the invitation here is to just tune into the heart and to think, you know, maybe you'll just get what your heart needs today. But the principles that we've been talking about over these last few weeks is the idea of there being one God or one love present in all of the universe. That's an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, thank you, being, okay? And if God isn't your jive, think of it as love. Love as being the eternal wisdom and intelligence and meaning and logic to the universe. The second principle is that presence lives and dwells in everyone and everything. And the operative term there is every, not some, not most, every being has a reflection and an image of the divine sacred love in it. The third principle is be mindful of our thoughts. Our thoughts create our reality. We're going to play with that one a little bit this morning because it's a good one. And then the fourth one is about prayer And whatever we do to connect to the divine, to connect to love, to connect to ourselves, each other, and the world. Those are our four principles that we are encouraged now in unity to live, practice, and apply. Well, as it turned out this week, as I was just thinking about this, I thought, ooh, here's a perfect opportunity to maybe offer a way that this can be helpful to you and to me as we navigate this time of the year. Does anybody recognize this picture? Yeah. You know where that might be fun? If not that one, how about this one? Yeah. What is it? Yeah. I had the joy this year of experiencing the Coeur d'Alene Christmas tree lighting. Wow. Holy cow. True confessions, I was a little grinchy and I was a little scroogey leaning up to it because it was crowded, it was cold. Everybody was all dressed up in their Christmas best, and I showed up like I just got done raking leaves in the yard, you know, and I'm just like, oh, geez, what is all this? And the minute Lisa and I got to the parade, I just started crying. I was just like, oh, this is beautiful. And all the nostalgia and all the memories and all of the feels of Christmas were great. And then we went down to the tree lighting. Lisa got me, we got like right down in front where, is it Brad Hagedon? That's his name? Yeah, you know, we just gave the opening thing. Oh my gosh, the choir singing Christmas carols, and then the countdown, and a fourth a fireworks show like none other. And I was just like, oh. I took videos to send to my kids, and look at what they do in Coeur d'Alene to celebrate Christmas. You know, I was just sending it to all my family and friends back home. It's just like, wow. And I got to tell you, I just could not help but get swept up in that. And then, you know, the way James Cress's head works, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, where does this fit in the rest of the world, you know, and other cultures and other languages and other people, you know, that would come to this time of the year and maybe use different terms, different stories, different symbols and everything like that. And I want to just be really careful here because this is where we start to polarize. You know, and there will be some who live over on this side that say, you know, say nothing about Christmas at all. We don't want to offend. We don't want to hurt anybody. You know, don't do anything or say anything or, you know, whatever and all of that kind of stuff. What did I do? Oh. Thank you. Thank you. No, thank you. I'm having a moment here. My favorite Christmas movie, oh, yeah. National Lampoon, Christmas Vacation. Yeah. Yeah, when he catches on fire. Yeah, okay, Uncle Lewis. Yeah, all right. Where was I? Okay, so, you know, there are people over here that's like, they almost apologize for Christmas. And we don't want to, you know, offend or whatever, and so we're going to just do everything we can except use the word Christmas. Then there are people who live over here where Christmas is the one and only thing, you know, and we don't talk about anything else because it's just, like, offensive and we can't do that. And I think there's a middle way where we can, again, what we talk about here at Unity. Yes, we come from a Christian background, and I come from a Christian background, so I speak from that place often, but that's not to the diminishment of other faiths, other traditions, other stories, other narratives that come into play this time of the year. And I'm thinking of Hanukkah. I'm thinking of Kwanzaa. It seems like there's one more I'm forgetting, but I can't remember what it is. Anyway, and one of the things that we talk about here is that all of these faiths, all of these traditions have a song to sing, a story to tell, a sound to make that's beautiful in their own right. And when they all play together in this basket of love and harmony, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So what I want to do is offer you a couple thoughts that I hope will help you navigate your way through the holidays this year. I'm a little nervous because I don't want this to come across condescending or like I'm trying to mansplain something to you. These are just these are thoughts that just came to me as I was enjoying just like Santa Claus exploded in Coeur d'Alene. I mean, it was just like amazing how it all happened, okay? But here's and I'll offer this in the form of a question, okay? And you can just take this or leave it. What if there is nothing you can do to take the Christ out of Christmas? When I was a young pastor in my old church, people would come up to me and they would just be either seething or in tears. You know, James, I can't believe this. You know, my children's school changed the name of their party from Christmas to Holiday. Ah, you know, my relatives signed their card Merry Xmas instead of Christmas. Okay. it was just like there was all this thing. They're taking the Christ out of Christmas. And I just remember as a very young pastor, even at that time, I thought to myself, can we do that? Do people have the authority or the ability to take the Christ out of Christmas? And again, be mindful. We talk about our Christ candle here. Christ is the awareness of the presence of the divine and love in everyone and everything, okay? It's not Jesus' last name. So it's just there. It's just there. So I don't think we have to worry so much about that. If a school or an organization or something here changes its name from Christmas to Holiday, or maybe changes its name from Holiday to Christmas, it just is what it is. I don't think we have to, maybe we don't have to just lose a lot of sleep over that, okay? Secondly, there's nothing you can do to put the Christ into Christmas. And that this used to get me as well, you know? In my house and in my church, we're going to put the Christ in Christmas. We're going to say Merry Christmas all month long, and we're going to, you know, do all these things to do that. And there was a little bit of a, what's the word? I want to say presumption, maybe a little bit of arrogance, you know, something, you know, that by saying Christmas or by having prayers or songs and all that kind of stuff, you know, again, humans have the ability to put the Christ into Christmas. And I think that can be a little divisive or troublesome as well. What if, and I was talking with Jean, are you here? There you are, you're over there, okay, you know. And she just came in this morning, and I just love this, you know. I'm raising my sails and tuning my sail to the wind of the Spirit this season. I just love that. And I just thought to myself, yes, that's what this season can be. We just tune our sails and we trim our sails and all of that to catch the Spirit of love and life and joy and happiness that's present. We don't have to get hung up on words, and we don't have to get hung up on phrases. Again, not that there's anything wrong with it, but sometimes new things come into our life that can help us expand and appreciate our understanding of the holidays. So I hope that helps you. And if not, that's okay. But that's just kind of what I was thinking about as I was just, wow, experiencing. And there were so many people there at that celebration too. Oh my gosh, I mean, it was just packed. So it was a lot of fun and a lot of to be a part of that. Okay. Yeah. So much more I want to say. So yeah, Christmas Vacation is one of my favorite movies. Did you ever watch the Seinfeld episode where George's dad, does anybody know what I'm talking about? What's it called? A Festivus for the Rest of Us. Yes. I'm really glad to hear that we're going to have a tree over here, you know? And then what was it, a Festivus pole, you know? Should we? I'm not saying we need to get one of those. But again, it's about freedom and it's about joy. Okay, so Mark 10:18, Jesus says this, no one is good except God alone. I'll come back to that because I don't want to get ahead of myself, okay? Nothing is good except love alone. Again, when we get to the holidays, in this time of the year especially, we can say to ourselves, yes, we'll accept other stories, we'll welcome other stories, but then inside think, but this one is the best. Or this one commands all the other ones. And again, my invitation to all of us, myself included, is as we navigate our way through the holidays this month, is can we be open to not just tolerating other stories, but actually learning from them? Maybe there's something in this story for me to learn. Maybe there's something in this story for me to understand. It goes back to what we were saying about the spirit of Advent at the very beginning, where the invitation is to not be apart from reality, to not be above reality, to not be below reality, to not be outside of it, but to be solidly with it. And so if you find yourself with a group of people speaking another language or telling another story or offering another perspective, can you be present to it lovingly and just be yourself? So in Mark 10:18, people came up to Jesus and they called him good teacher. You know, they were revering him and honoring him. And in that response to that, Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. As I've been telling you along the way, I interchange God and love. So nothing is good except love alone. It all comes back to love. All right, so how can we find love in principle number 5? I'd like to just offer you 3 reflections that you can take with you today or meditate on. Again, principle number 5 is living, practicing, and applying the unity principles. Okay? The first one is this, and I kind of hinted at it just a moment ago. Try reframing this is good or bad with this is new. Reframe good or bad with this is new. Just a little something to watch the rest of the day today and your week today. Notice how often you will say, oh, this is good, or this is bad. Notice how other people say, oh, this is good, this is bad. Now, again, this isn't to say stop doing that, because there are definitely things of right and wrong and good and bad that we need to be mindful of. But again, when new things come into our life, notice how the mind is going to want to apply a judgment to it. Good or bad is a judgment. And what I'm finding useful in my life is that when something new comes in, yes, I can be aware, ooh, I don't like this, or ooh, I like that. You know, like trying a new food. You know? Ooh, I don't like that. Ooh, I like that. Okay? Again, there's a judgment to that. What if instead you just said, oh, this is new? This is new. Try that. Experiment with that. Play with that. And just notice what happens. Cool? All right. Secondly, as we think about the unity principles, don't serve the principles. Let the principles serve you as you serve others in the world. And this is really important, because in so many spiritual traditions, including this one, we can wrap ourselves into principles, beliefs, practices. And if we don't hold those with an open hand, they can harden, they can ossify, and we can cease to be relevant. The beauty of this movement, as it began in the early 1900s, is that Charles and Myrtle Fillmore looked across the perspective of Christian faith and Christian practice, and what they saw was a lot of dead religion that didn't make any difference in people's lives. And because their hearts were open, they experienced spiritual healing in miraculous ways. They experienced and desired to integrate Christian thought with all of the other spirituality and philosophical thought in the world today. And it was rich and it was beautiful. The idea here is for us to live that same spirit today. We can look back with thanks and gratitude for who they were and what they did. But I think it's more useful to say, what is the heart and what is the spirit that they had that we can apply to things today? I can't think of an example right now, but again, don't serve the principles. Don't conform your life to them. Rather, as you are interacting with yourself, with God or the divine, with other people, draw upon these principles and let them serve you. That's what keeps them alive and keeps them relevant. Good? All right, one more. I've shared this quote with you before, but I think this is really relevant here. Keep your heart open. When your heart is open, you don't need to know the rules. You create them. So I'd like you to just do what I'd like us to do together is take a moment and reflect this holiday season. What do you want to create? What do you want to create? Would anybody be just open to sharing whatever comes to mind? What do you want to create this December?
Peace. Just peace.
Welcome back.
I want to have our particularly Western culture in this United States create one nation under God instead of two parties under of authority and leadership from one side of the aisle to the other. It has to stop. We have to come, like you say, come to the middle and treat each other as citizens of a United States.
Thank you.
Well, he said it all.
Oh.
Peace, and that's peace between different religions and different political aspirations. Just try to love one another and just leave your heart open to accept.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. Anyone else?
I wish to be with people at the present time. I'm physically with them. Slow down, listen to them, be engaged with them.
Thank you.
Even if you're not physically with family, be with family in love and pretend you're playing pinochle with them right across the table.
Yes, pinochle. That's a great game. Do you want to? Yeah. I'm sorry.
I would like to see more harmony, good harmony.
Yeah. Harmony. Good. Anyone over here?
Warmth. Because there's always difference of opinion and difference of thought, but when there's warmth, it can be kind of wrapped in understanding. And
yeah. Thank you, Kelly. What else? What do you want to create? Anyone else?
I vote for fun and lightness.
Yes, yes. Someone mentioned playing pinochle. That's a fun game. Thanksgiving Day, I learned the card game Sevens. You ever heard of that game? It's a total lot of fun. There's a dice game I learned a couple months ago. My dad passed away, called Farkle. Any of you ever played Farkle? Yeah, it's kind of an interesting name. Fun, laughter. Playing games. Lisa and I were at dinner with some friends the other night and just had a wonderful time and just being together and enjoying the spirit of the holidays and everything that came up. And a subject came up that we were talking about, and I enjoyed a conversation that it was something that could have become one of those issues where, you know, we dug in and took sides, but it was really about a mutual curiosity and learning and understanding about someone with different points of view. And the good news is that every one of you here, including myself, can create that. I don't know that we need to have a certain person in the White House of any political persuasion, or a certain mayor, or a certain governor, helpful as it may be. There's nothing I would offer, nothing, nothing, nothing at all, that can get in the way of you or I doing that, except maybe how we decide that we want to show up. So be mindful of that this holiday season. You can create your reality. That's Unity Principle 3. Be mindful of your thoughts. They create your reality. All right. I want to take a minute and just revisit something that I shared with you last week, just to kind of take this a little bit deeper and help you process, and hopefully help you process just how faith, love, and spirit get worked out in your life. And I shared this last week, so it'll be a repeat. It's like we heard you say that last week. Well, this is the adaptive cycle. It's a model used by biologists to describe the life cycle of a forest and what a forest goes through. And what's interesting, again, to me, is when we think of forests, you know, their time cycle is many more years than the human cycle. I mean, human beings are blips on a screen compared to a forest or compared to a tree. So I think this can be something helpful and something useful, I hope, for you as you think, you know, where am I spiritually in my life on this adaptive cycle, okay? Stage one is called exploitation. Exploitation is the discovery of a resource for life and for growth. So in the forest, we can think of sunlight, water, nutrients from the soil. Okay? Think about your spiritual life. I've talked to many of you how you found unity at your home, you know, and all of that. So yes, there's the discovery of this place and this resource for nourishment and growth and life, and it's a very normal, very natural part of the process. Okay? The second phase is conservation. Conservation is the holding on to and the conserving of that resource to preserve and promote life. Life wants to live. Life and love want to express itself. So when a resource is discovered, there's going to be a natural impulse to want to hold on to that. I think the same is true in our spiritual life. We discover something that works. We discover something that feels good. We discover a story or a relationship with some, and the natural impulse, the normal impulse, is to want to hold on to it. Okay? It's normal. It happens. I think the holding on to things is what causes a lot of division in our culture today. So the conversation I was having a couple weeks ago was about transgenderism and women playing, or men, biological men playing women's sports. I'm sure we could have quite an animated conversation in this place here, okay? And we're not going to do that right now. But it's one of those things where I thought, wow, how neat it would be to have a conversation like that and to create a space that's safe enough for people to bring their hopes, their fears, their dreams. The beautiful thing about the conversation that I had with this person is that we were coming at it from different angles, but at the end, when we peeled back all the layers of potential conflict, we realized we want the same thing, which is the good for all of people and all of humanity, okay? But it comes to this link of wanting to hold on to what gives us life, because one of the ways our minds work is when something threatens our life, we react and we go into fight, flight, or freeze, okay? The inner part of our brain hasn't evolved enough to discern between an actual threat, a fire, an earthquake, whatever, and a perceived threat. Someone not answering a text right away, you know, someone, you know, whatever it might be, okay, these become to our being, okay, but this is a natural, normal part of what it means to be human. Well, then what happens is, inevitably, because love is always breaking out of the containers we make for it, at least that I make for it, there's some form of release. We talked about this last week. For a forest, it could be a fire, it could be disease, you know, but the ecology changes, and now in the forest, the tree becomes the stuff of the soil and the nutrients for future generations. Think about your life today. Something might feel like it's crumbling before you. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a belief system. You know, whatever it might be, can you be present to that and maybe think of whatever might be releasing in your life as a decomposition of sorts for a future that is to come? Maybe something that you'll experience in this lifetime, maybe something for generations down the road. I'm really looking forward to, in the new year, many things, but starting a men's ministry and offering something, offering healing and hope for men here. And as I've just really been thinking about it, the ripple effect that when men grow and heal, women too, I don't mean to make this just about men, but especially men grow and heal, the ripple effect can be felt downstream for generations. You know, as certain things are just allowed to decompose and melt away, there's a newness and the freshness that comes from that. And in the fourth stage of this, again, then there's a reorganization, okay? And I think we all like the new. We all like things reorganized. We don't always appreciate the disorganization that has to happen before it. Any of you remodeled a house? Yeah. It's really messy and really sloppy, okay? But the end result oftentimes is pretty cool, right? Yeah. So let that be something for you to think about this holiday season, to watch, to notice, to wait, what from your experience might be wanting to be released in your life so that there can be a new reorganization, a new expression of love, a new expression of life, a new expression of hope. And just watch and see what happens. Because I think when that happens, we can create the realities that we want. I want to close by, you know what that is? Yeah. So we have our Unity candle here and our Advent candle here. Maybe if you find yourself in downtown Coeur d'Alene this week, you can look at this star. And I'd just like to close with offering a little poem. It's about candles, but we can also think about it as Christmas lights. It says, I will light candles. Candles of joy, despite all the sadness. Candles of hope, where despair keeps watch. Candles of courage, where fear is ever present. Candles of peace, for tempest-tossed days. Candles of grace, to ease heavy burdens. Candles of love, to inspire all my living. Candles that will burn all year long. Amen. And so it is.
So I'm reminded that the first Sunday in Advent is about Mary having to walk her path. And each of us gets to do that too. We have to walk our paths, walk our talk. Jesus, can I touch his tender skin? Feel my arms warm around him, place my finger on his chin. Can I look into his face and see him smile? Can I hold him? Moment that I live, I can treasure his commandments, I can learn how to forgive, I can show the world compassion undefiled, I can hold you live.